Today, as we resume the examination of the book of Revelation, back in chapter 8, we saw the terrible things that happened on earth when the angels blew four trumpets, ushering in God's judgment upon the earth. Here in chapter 9, the fifth and sixth trumpets are described for us here. The fifth trumpet will bring a five-month period of torment on the unbelievers left on the earth at this time. Now, in the first 12 verses, John uses the image of a pit seven times to describe a place that we know of as hell. And each time, the pit is closely associated with demons. This image of hell suggests darkness and imprisonment. Years ago, some friends of mine told me that they had heard a preacher say one time, "Well, who's to say that there really is a hell?" Well, obviously, that preacher didn't know the Bible very well and had no business in the pulpit. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, we read the words of Jesus where he said, "Then he will say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Well, clearly Jesus was speaking of a place called hell. So there really is a place called hell. Amen? And those who go to hell are not sent there by God, but choose to be sent there to spend eternity with Satan rather than with Jesus. One day, two little boys were picking up pecans that had fallen to the ground beneath a pecan tree out in the cemetery. After they had filled a bucket, they sat down and started to divide the pecans amongst themselves, saying, "One for you and one for me. One for you and one for me." And that continued in like manner as they continued to count the pecans out and divide them amongst the two boys. As they divided up the contents of the bucket, a couple of the pecans dropped to the ground and rolled down the slope towards a large wooden fence. On his way home, another little boy pedaled his bicycle by the tall wooden fence that enclosed the cemetery, and he heard these boys speaking, "One for you and one for me. One for you and one for me." Terrified by what he believed was happening, the boy quickly jumped on his bike and rode away from the cemetery. The first person this little boy met was an old man, and he told him, "Jesus and the devil are down at the wooden fence dividing up all the souls in the cemetery." The old man was highly skeptical, but he decided to follow the boy back to the cemetery to see what really was going on there. As they reached the cemetery fence, they heard the voices of the two boys dividing up the pecans, "One for you and one for me. One for you and one for me." The old man decided the boy was right. He said to him, "You know, I always wanted to see the devil. Let's take a look." Just then, one of the boys said, "Well, that's all of them. Now let's get those two nuts down by the fence." The old man outrun the boy back to town. Well, let's get into chapter 9 here this morning. Verse 1 says, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, to him the key to the bottomless pit." So this angel blows the fifth trumpet, and it is cast out of heaven. Identifying this star in verse 1 as Satan is really pretty easy when you think about it. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, the Bible says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations." Now, in fact, many people believe that Satan reigns in some kind of kingdom called hell. Friends, I'm here to tell you this morning that is simply not true. The Bible tells us that Satan has always had access to the throne of God in heaven, where he serves as the accuser of the saints of God. We read in Job chapter 1, verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." Now, where does this happen? It happens in heaven. When we get to chapter 12 of Job, we see in verse 10, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation is and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." You'll see that later on when we get to chapter 12. So what the Bible is telling us here, friends, is God allows Satan or the devil, whatever name you want to call him by, to stand before him, accusing you and me, the believers, of being sinners each time that we actually sin. Now, this might be news to some of you. You might be among the many people who believe that Satan is in hell. But the Bible tells us that's not true. And there are many people who believe that Satan is bound in hell, and that's the only place that he can be found, is because many people just don't take the time to read and study the Bible. Now, don't misunderstand me here. Satan's presence in heaven today does not mean that he has the ability to harm the souls that are in heaven right now. His only function in going there is to accuse us, you and me, of being sinners who deserve to end up in hell. But verse 1 says, here during tribulation, Satan's presence in heaven changes. Now, here in verse 1, it tells us that Satan is finally kicked out of heaven, and we're going to see he is ferocious and very, very angry. Notice also here that it says he carries with him the key to the bottomless pit. Now, friends, Satan did not have this key to the bottomless pit before this because it was given to Jesus. You'll recall back in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, we read, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." So Jesus had the keys to heaven, to hell, and to death. And now we find he gives it to Satan when he is cast out of heaven. Let's move on to verse 2. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit." Okay. Jesus gives Satan the key to hell so that he can open it up. And this would release punishment upon unbelievers left here on earth after the rapture. Satan had to have permission of God to afflict Job. I read that to you here just a few seconds ago. So Satan brings all of these terrible things on earth during the tribulation because he's given permission to do so by God. Now, this physical smoke that we read about here in verse 2 that comes out of this bottomless pit will obscure the sun and diminish the light that's available on the earth at this time. And we're also going to see that this pit is now, at this very moment, the home of many, many demons. In Jude verse 6, the Bible tells us, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible tells us, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." So clearly, friends, the Bible is telling us at this very moment, today, There are many, many demons who used to be angels at one time that are now being kept prisoners in the pits of hell. Maybe before I go a little bit further here, I ought to explain to you what a demon is. The Bible tells us that when God created the heavens and the earth, He created as well living spiritual beings known as angels. And the highest order of angels were the cherubs, which surrounded the throne of God. And one of those cherubs was an angel known as Lucifer. And he chose to rebel against the authority of God and try to establish himself as God. Now, in case you think I'm making that all up, sometime when you've got the time, dig out your Bible and read Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 14, 15, and 16, or Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Right there you'll find authentication of what I've just said about this angel Lucifer who rebelled against God. So the Bible says that Lucifer did rebel against God, and as a result of his rebellion, the Bible goes on to tell us that one-third of the angels joined in his rebellion against God. And those fallen angels became demons. Demons work for Satan, or Lucifer, if you want to call him by that name, causing trouble for mankind. We read in the Gospels many times about people being demon-possessed. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, Matthew 4, verses 23, 24, Matthew 8, verse 6, and Mark chapter 9, verses 20 through 22 are just a few examples in the Gospels where you'll find the Bible telling us about people who, right here on earth, were possessed by demons. And friends, I've got news for you. There are still demons around today doing harm to mankind. I think I've told you this before, but one time I was called up by a lady in Mount Vernon, Illinois. She had heard me preach a sermon during the times when I was preaching at the Baptist Church at Mount Erie. She'd heard me preach a sermon, and she called and wanted to know if I did any marital counseling. And I said, well, I'm not a licensed psychologist, but I can tell you what the Bible says. And she said, well, I'd really appreciate seeing you. So I went over to see her, and we sat down in her living room, and she started telling me all the trouble she was having with her husband, how he treated her so mean, and how he was mean to the kids, and how awful a person he was. And during this visit, this guy walked in. And friends, if I have ever seen a person who was demon-possessed, this guy was one. I come to find out he was involved in satanic worship practices there in Mount Vernon. And just looking at him, you can just see the evilness in his eyes. I have no doubt that boy was demon-possessed. Now, the Bible goes on to tell us here that some demons were arrested by God and sent to prison in this bottomless pit, or hell if you want to call it that. And now, as we read here in Revelation, when Satan opens up this pit, out come these demons. And they have such a vicious nature, friends, that God had to bind them up until this time to keep them from doing terrible things before their appointed time. But now the chains are off and the lid to the hell or bottomless pit is open, and here they come. They come upon the earth, friends. Now remember, this is during tribulation time. They come upon the earth, and their mission is to deceive and destroy. Verse 3. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. All right, let's stop there. Now, the description of these locusts here actually indicate to me that these are not locusts as you and I know them, but they are, in fact, demons released from the bottomless pit. They are given bodies that appear to be like a locust, and they are given this nature to produce their destruction and their torment upon people left on the earth during this time. Now try to imagine in your mind, if you will, what that will be like. Just think of how it would feel to be suddenly attacked by a swarm of stinging, locust-like demons that have come to invade the earth. We're going to look as we go to verse 4 that these demons possess power that the old devil has given to them. But again, remember, God is allowing this to happen for a purpose. Verse 4. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men, look at this part, only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So, these demon, locust-like looking creatures come out of the bottomless pit, and they have orders not to hurt the vegetation, the grass, the trees, the weeds, whatever. Nor are they allowed to harm the 144,000 who have been sealed on their foreheads. We read about that before, but hopefully you were here to hear that. You might remember that the 144,000 who were sealed were the ones that the four angels had held back the winds until they had been sealed. That's back in chapter 7, verse 1. So as we see here in verse 4, Satan's power through these demonic creatures is under strict control over those who have been sealed by God. Now, I don't know whether you know anything about locusts or not, but real locusts would eat every green thing they could get their mouths against. If these were real locusts, they would do that. In spite of the fact that the Bible says they were told not to harm the grass of the earth, if in fact there was a swarm of real locusts today, you can bet they'd eat every green thing they could get to. But these locusts are not sent for the purpose of destroying the greenery. These locusts are demon spirits turned loose upon the earth at this time, but they are coming after not vegetation, but mankind. But we're going to see here that they are not permitted to actually kill anyone. Verse 5. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Okay? The demon's job here, obviously, is to torment people on the earth in the same way that if you were being tormented by a scorpion. And the good part about this is their period of torment is limited to just 5 months. Okay? You're probably wondering, as I did, why just 5 months does God want them to torment people left on the earth after the rapture for just 5 months? Well, I don't know. The only answer I can come up with is that 5 months is usually how long real locusts live before they die. That's the only thing I can come up with. I don't find anything else in Scripture to explain why their torment is limited to 5 months. Are these real locusts like we see today? Clearly the Scripture says no. They are in fact demons, but they take on the form of locusts, okay? The only thing I can come up with is maybe this 5 month period is how long God allows these demons to possess a body like a locust. That's the only explanation that I can come up with. All right, let's move on to verse 6. In those days, men will seek death. Boy, this is really going to get thick, friends. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Well, it's not too hard for us to imagine that if this swarm of demon-like locusts comes to the earth and starts tormenting men and women, of course, with stinging torment, that some of them, if not all of them, would welcome relief from all of this suffering by finally dying. But these demonic forces of evil turned loose upon the earth will be so terrible that men and women will actually beg to die. But the unfortunate thing for them is death won't come, because God is allowing all this to happen to them as punishment. Friends, I don't know about you, but it's not too hard for me to understand as I try to put in my mind a mental image of what this must be like. It's not too hard for me to see that this is more physical pain and torment and terrible suffering that anyone would ever experience in this life. These demonic hosts will be virtually unstoppable. You know, we come up with all kinds of pesticides and stuff here mankind has to rid ourselves of pests in our trees and in our homes and so on. But nothing mankind can ever come up with during this time will have any effect in stopping these demonic locusts that descend upon the earth. Man will not be able to come up with any weapon that would harm them or stop them from doing this terrible torment they will inflict upon mankind. Move on to verse 7. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. Okay, now we're getting a little better description of what they might look like. John describes these locust-like demons. And the phrase here where it says, like horses prepared for battle, means that these demonic locust creatures wear protective armor suitable for battle. Maybe this is why mankind won't be able to find any way to kill them. Now, friends, I want you to understand this does not mean here that these demonic creatures look anything like horses. It's just illustration-type imagery to tell us that John would have known back in those days that horses prepared for battle would, in fact, wear some type of armor to protect the horses. And John sees these demonic locusts wearing some type of protective armor, just like he knows horses back in those days of the Roman Empire had armor on them. Okay, do you understand that now? What about these golden crowns? The crowns that these demonic creatures wear indicates that they are conquerors. Conquering kings back in Bible days and even later on in history always wore golden crowns. And when it says their faces like men, indicates that these are intelligent creatures. Bugs and locusts and wasps and so on do not have the intelligence of mankind, because mankind has been able to find all kinds of ways to defeat bugs. Is anybody watching the Cardinal game yesterday? Anybody, Christian was. Maybe you didn't hear about this, but the start of the game was delayed. How many minutes, Christian? About 30 minutes, because before the game started, a huge swarm of bees formed on, was it on one of the outfield gates? Yeah. They were afraid people were going to get stung by this huge swarm of bees that formed. You know how bees, whenever a queen bee sets and then all the bees around. So what did they do to get rid of them? What did they do, Christian? They sprayed them with a mixture of soap and water, wasn't it, to make them disperse. So you see, mankind at this time in nature and in the history of mankind has been able to come up with all kinds of methods to beat bees, wasps, locusts, bugs. But these here, when it says their faces like men, indicates that these are intelligent creatures, and they are able to defeat man's abilities to come up with any way to stop them from what they're doing to mankind. Let's move on to verse 8. Now this is where it really gets. You might like this part, Janice. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. You ever had a lady show up in the beauty shop, Janice, that had teeth like lion's teeth? I hope not. If you do, don't call me in as the next customer, okay? All right. What does this mean? Their feminine hair, somehow, some way, as ugly as you and I must think these demonic locusts must appear, somehow their feminine hair makes them seductive and attractive. Let's face it. Why do you women like to have your hair fixed up so nice? Why? So you're more attractive, right? I mean, if you see some lady, her hair is just all tangled mess and all over, I mean, you know, they're not very attractive. But a woman who's got her hair all fixed up and nice, that makes you attractive. And that's the only explanation I can come up here, is John sees a feminine type hair growing on these, boy, this is getting thick, isn't it? I'm trying to put an image in my mind what these demonic locusts must look like. And boy, it's tough. And the only thing I can come up with is because of their feminine looking hair, it makes man an easy prey, just like men today are drawn in by a woman with beautiful hair. Let's face it, guys. Back when you were a single guy and you were kind of running around looking for perhaps a mate someday, would you have even asked a date of some girl who had her hair all over her head? No, you look for a woman who's attractive. And part of a woman's attractiveness is her hair. Right, Janice? Yeah, sure. Okay. So these men of tribulation time somehow are drawn in by the attractive appearance of these demonic locusts. And they lure unsuspecting believers to come close to them before striking them with their deadly stingers. But again, remember, they can't kill anybody with these stings. And the teeth of lions here in this verse shows to me that they are very destructive and hurtful creatures. Verse 9. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. So the image here of breastplates of iron indicates to me that it makes them indestructible. Again, no matter what man might find to shoot at them or spray at them or whatever, it protects them from being destroyed. In short, these demonic creatures will be impossible to destroy and very attractive. There will be no escaping their worldwide onslaught. There will be nowhere to run and hide from them once mankind realizes what these creatures can do to them. But what about these wings? To me, it indicates to me that they have swiftness. They're able to move about very, very quickly. And it says here the sound of their wings is loud. Now, friends, don't be surprised if sometime, if you ever decide to do a little more digging into Revelation, that you might find some Bible commentator somewhere who says that this is a symbol of helicopters. That these are not really demon locusts here, but these are helicopters that are used. Well, that's just nonsense. I don't know where some of these guys come up with their ideas. These are demon-possessed creatures looking like a locust in some way, feminine hair, able to sting like a scorpion sting, and able to create great pain and suffering upon mankind left on the earth at this time. And even those who decide, I'd rather die than continue to face this kind of torment, they won't be able to die. The metaphor drawn from a battlefield, the sound of their wings is compared to a moving army with many chariots and horses rushing to battle. So in other words, not only will people see these demonic creatures coming against them, but they'll be able to hear them coming, just like a huge marching army would come against an enemy. Let's move on to verse 10. Here again it tells us they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. Here again we're told how long. These locusts can't, well, actually, locusts, real locusts that we have on this earth today can't hurt man. They might scare some of you folks. Maybe you remember seeing these red-eyed locusts that come every 7 years. You ever seen any of those things? They are scary-looking creatures, aren't they? But in reality, those locusts can't do us any harm. They have no ability to hurt us. But scorpions that have stingers, they can harm us. Here again, their torment of men is limited to 5 months. Eventually, God is going to return them to the abyss with Satan from which they came, sending them to the lake of the fire. Pardon me. And we're going to read about that when we get to chapter 20, but that's not going to happen right now. Let's move on to verse 11. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Okay, these locust-like demons, it says, have a king over them. And his name in Hebrew and Greek both mean destroyer. Now in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 27, Solomon writes about earthly insects. He says, locusts have no kings, but we'll notice these locust demons do. Now friends, this king is not Satan. The pit was opened by Satan, and this king came out, so he can't be Satan. This king is a demon locust who leads in this destruction. Perhaps Satan has his general, much like Gabriel, as one of God's special messengers. Now remember, all of this happens because of God's wrath. God alone can stop Satan. And this time God does not want to stop him. In fact, God allows and even orders all this to happen. Now remember, friends, all of these terrible things that we're reading about in Revelation are allowed by God. Don't ever get the impression that God has lost control. God allows these demon creatures to come forward because this is all part of God's wrath. God allows all of this to happen. Now, friends, in closing, let me say this. As terrible as this judgment is, are you ready for this? The worst is yet to come. If you think this is going to be bad, we're going to read as we continue to look at Revelation that, as the old saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. God is giving people another opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. Up to this point, it is not too late for people left on earth after the rapture to be saved. But that time is quickly expiring. Now, I have no doubt. I know of people perhaps within my family, who I have every reason to believe, if he or she died today, would end up in hell. Or if the rapture happened today, he or she would be left for this 7-year period of tribulation. I'm confident that you too could come up with people, perhaps in your own family, or perhaps in your circle of friends, or people that you work with who you have every reason to believe, if he or she died today, their soul would go to hell, or if the rapture happened today, they would be left behind to endure what we're reading about. I don't know about you, but I really don't want the people that I know and love and respect to be here when all of these terrible things that we're reading about in Revelation begin to happen. And the good news is, friends, they don't have to be. They don't have to be. And in closing, I say this word to you. Don't wait until it's too late to tell them about Jesus.